Hi, this is Ananda, president of the Hare Krishna community near Washington, D.C. What follows is a Sunday lecture recorded at our temple. Every Sunday, we invite the public for meditation, singing, a lecture, and a vegetarian lunch. We'd love for you to join us. More information is available at isconofdc.org. That's ISKCONofDC.org. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the talk.
Mataji was talking about Shastric education. We have the ISKCON Ministry of Education. And last, and roughly speaking, for example, in ISKCON, very, very good estimate is that there are about 250,000 children, school-age children in ISKCON. Only about 10% of them are actually being educated in the ISKCON facilities. But if you go to the Mormon church, Catholic church, you know, Jewish programs, so much facility. So something we really have to develop in ISKCON, and a lot of people are trying to do it in India here. So for the first time, actually, in 20 years, we had a North American symposium in Houston, Texas, last weekend. And these are, you know, some of the topics that we're able to discuss. Philosophy of education. What is education? Who should be educated? Little Dhruva Maharaja's or Prahlad Maharaja's friends? Then, of course, Shastric education, because the basis of everything is the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Then we actually have a very, very developed system of homeschooling in ISKCON. Mother Aruda was there, and she's one of the pioneers. And her two sons are now in Oxford. They graduated from Oxford University. They did homeschooling. And now Radhika has an endowed chair of philosophy at the University of Utah. He was in Oxford, everything else like that. So very, very successful programs in homeschooling. And now actually preschool, there's actually a franchise available, like Montessori School, Waldorf School. It's called Gokul Kids. And it's starting off in Texas now, already exists in India. And then you become a franchised member like that and get training, all this stuff like that. How much does it cost for daycare here for one kid? Preschool? Huh? Or 700 maybe? Yeah. 400 minimum. So we went to one school in Texas run by the Patel brothers. They had maybe four schools. One of our members there was actually the director. And about 150 kids, very, very poor areas, so only 400 a month. So 150 kids times $400 a month. Yeah, $60,000 a month income, like that, so on. So why go to all these crazy jobs when you can have a nice preschool? You can actually give kids something very valuable. And we can adjust it in such a way that all kinds of kids can come. It doesn't have to be just Hare Krishna kids and stuff. They get prasadam, some idea about values. So that's a franchise. And afterwards, you want to talk to me, we can talk in more details about this. Then primary school and secondary. Now, this is, we're starting in Texas right now. It's called Goswami Academy, after Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And this is not a franchise, but it's a consulting. Gokul Education will give you all the consultation you need. Teacher training, computer backup, legal work, curriculum. And you can start then to develop your own primary school like that, so on. And it's quite possible with help like this to get accreditation. And, you know, discover you have to have school buses. Okay, there's a lot of work to do. In North America, there's a primary school in Alachua, in Florida, in Vancouver, Canada, in Seattle, in Dallas, and now we're starting this one in Houston like that. So all together, about five primary schools, that's all. And they're in different, some are like, you know, 40 years old, some are 10 years old. The one in Florida is accredited all the way through the first year of college, students like that. Dallas, the students that came out of there, they're now 35 years old, 40 years old. They're managers for UPS with 12,000 employees under them. You know, so many great successes like that. So really we're getting it together in ISKCON in terms of these preschool programs, primary and secondary school, you know. And of course all this Sunday school programs, Gita camp. So a lot of work being done to develop a systematic program. And also then you can go to the university. There are many, many, many universities now where devotees are full professors like that. And they can give you so much help when you're in the university. And also, too, like I was mentioning, there are actually quite a few devotees who are on big faculties like that, Garuda, others, William and Mary College and places like that, you know. And they're at the top level of educational development. In North America, probably the biggest theological organization is the American Association of Religions. And they have an annual meeting, and about 5,000 people come in different topics, educators. So Radhika Raman, our good devotee, he's in charge of the section now on Hindu-Christian dialogue, like that. And so much benefit. You know, Christians are very much focused on taking care of people, food relief, retirement places for older people. And we focus more on philosophy and things like that. So combined together, it's very, very nice. Nice cooperation. Why should we fight? You know, let's work together, you know. Yeah. So this is kind of a little summary I have here. Okay, yeah. This, for example, see this, is the Sanskrit curriculum available. Little poster cards, four card games, like that, for Sanskrit, from first through third grade, like that. Very systematic. Then there's a student's handbook, like that. Yeah. Dictionary, okay. And teacher's handbook, like that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Teacher's study book. So this is example of the kind of curriculum that's available. This is first through third grade. An adult can finish it off in 9 months, like that, so on. And the online support will be probably up in September. And then the fourth through sixth grade will also be probably ready by next year. But also English language curriculum, how to learn English at the same time from a Krishna conscious point of view. So this is kind of the Ministry of Education, the kind of work we're doing. And if you want to actually look at the results of the symposium, you can go to Jayaram. What did Hanuman say when he jumped? Jayaram. Okay. United Snakes. Okay? That's so you won't forget it. Yeah. Okay. Jayaram United Sadhus. Okay? North American Symposium. And there you can actually see the links for the recordings of the conferences like that. And people have already looked at them and said they're very nice. Okay. Okay, now in Shastric education, because here we're starting Bhakti Vaibhava. And so we're going to look at today at the lotus feet of Krishna, the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you know the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know the lotus feet of Krishna. They are identical. Prabhupada in general, he suggested three levels or four levels of Shastric education. Bhakti Shastri, focusing on Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti Vaibhava, focusing on the first two cantos, first six cantos, and Bhakti Vedanta, the whole Bhagavatam like that, so on, you know. And it's very, very nice progressive study. It's not just intellectual. You change your character. You become a different person if you study these with devotees and actually try and think about them. So here, with Brajbihari Prabhu, Bayahari, Bhakti Shastri diplomas were given out today. I think 125 Bhakti diplomas. So now everybody's ready for Bhakti Vaibhava. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai. So we've already gone over a summary of all 12 cantos. It's very organized. The Srimad Bhagavatam is very logical, very systematic. It's unlike any other Vedic literature, really. Yeah. So then today we're going to go back and focus on the first part then, which is first two cantos. So here's a summary study of the first two cantos of Krishna's lotus feet. Yeah. Okay. We divide the first canto into four major parts. Okay? We have the preface, which is very short, but Prabhupada gives a whole summary of what is his purpose, what is the Bhagavatam's background, how it's supposed to work. It's very short, but it tells you really what is this movement. The introduction, okay. Then we have first three chapters are Sutta, Goswami talking to the sages of Naimisharanya. Then the next three chapters are Narada, talking to Vyasadeva. Then it finishes off then with the last section, disappearance of Krishna and his associates, and appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. Okay. So very systematic. Okay. The preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, although just 2 pages, is a very concentrated document. You can study it in great detail with great profit and utility. Since Srimad Bhagavatam was Srila Prabhupada's life work, its preface is also a preface to his life and institutions, such as ISKCON. So what is ISKCON? What is its purpose? What is it supposed to be doing? That's all in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. The introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam is primarily a 35-page biography of the life of Lord Chaitanya, the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without his mercy, it is very difficult to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. So people may tell you, I know Dayananda Saraswati, I know Ramakrishna, I know Vivekananda, but I don't know your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. It's very, very nice biography. 35 pages in one evening, a little bit of root beer. You can understand like that. So this is preaching, giving people the things they need, know where they are. So that biography is so nice. In Spanish, it's a separate little book. It's so nice to distribute it like that, people like that. Very satisfying biography. Okay. Canto 1 is a preface to the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. In a preface, we find the purpose of the book. Why was Srimad Bhagavatam produced? Okay. The qualifications of the speaker. Who's the main speaker in Srimad Bhagavatam? Yeah. In the first canto, it tells when he was born, what he did, how he grew up, what his character was. The qualifications of the listener. Okay. When did their spiritual life begin? Both of them. 5 years old, kindergarten. In the womb, yeah. You can't start much earlier than that. Yeah. The circumstances under which the book was produced. So what are the circumstances under which they were talking? Yeah, he's about to die. Yeah. Now it's a very serious discussion. Yeah. If I told you in 1 week you're going to die, for sure. Yeah, you start to adjust things. You know, I don't have to worry about my rent this month. All my bills, forget it. They can't come after me after I'm dead. You know? Yeah, like that. Yeah. What would you do? Okay, you go to Vrindavan, absorb yourself hearing and chanting. Okay. So this is the preface of a book. Any book you get, you look at it. You know, my name is Jack Smith. I'm a high school mathematics professor at Mudge High School. We discovered there's no good books on calculus for high school students. So in the school year of 1984, with my fellow students and professors, teachers, we made a book on calculus for high school students. It's expected that students will have finished analytical geometry before starting this book. That's the preface. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit's about to die, Kali Yuga's coming, Krishna's left, we need a new incarnation. Sukadeva Goswami is the most qualified Bhagavad reciter on the face of the earth, you know, and everybody's ready like that. Second canto, Sukadeva Goswami starts to preach. Okay? Very systematic. Who is the principal speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay. Audience, Maharaj Pariksit. Circumstances, arrival of the era of Kali. Yeah. Purpose, give shelter in Kali Yuga, because you won't find another incarnation. Chapters 1 to 3 are questions by the sages of Naimisharanya. They ask Asuda Goswami, basically that's chapter 1, and he answers their questions. It's complete. Everything is there. What is this world? Who are we? What's your problem? How to go to Krishna? It's all complete. But we want to hear it again. Yeah. Chapters 4 to 6 are the meeting between Vyasadeva and Narada Muni. At the end of the third chapter, the sages say, okay, you're glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, but Vyasadeva had already written so much literature, so many books, then why did he write Srimad Bhagavatam? So, Vyasadeva was unhappy. Even after compiling all the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra, but Narada instructed him to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, and that would satisfy his hankerings. So you're talking to your relatives about Krishna consciousness. You can't talk to them directly. You're dissatisfied. So finally you just start preaching directly and just tell them. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he told his father, you know, demons like you will never understand this. He just told four verses, you know. Okay. He's going to get it or not get it, but at least he'll hear it. Yeah. Yeah. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. The rest of the Vedas, the Puranas, are very indirect. You know, it's there, but it's so indirect that people don't think that's religion. They think having a family, being good, that's religion. No. That's to take you to emotional love of God. Just like that. Okay. So that's Vyasadeva to Narada Muni. Okay. Then after that, chapters 7 through 15 are the disappearance of Krishna and his associates and the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's mission of incarnation was finished with the battle of Kurukshetra. So he enjoyed pastimes for several years. Then he and his associates disappeared. Disappearance of the Pandavas, disappearance of Dhritarashtra, disappearance of Bhishmadev, Kunti Devi, appearance of Maharaj Parikshit, yeah, like that, so on. Yeah. And these pretty much, how's it go here? This is the events right after. Krishna's, after the Kurukshetra battle, Krishna is all ready to go. And so before he can go, though, Ashvatthama throws a Brahmastra weapon at Uttara. And she has her time for prayers are very short. she has to say her prayers very quickly. She's being chased by a localized, you know, thermonuclear smart bomb, like that. So she's, you know, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, you know, very nice prayers, just two prayers. Then Krishna protects her, protects Maharaj Parikshit, and that's why it's there, because he wants to tell us who Maharaj Parikshit is. This is the book you're hearing. You got to understand who Maharaj Parikshit is. Okay, and then Krishna's ready to go. He gets in the chariot, and then Kunti Devi asks him to stay, and eventually he's convinced to stay. And a little bit later, then Bhishmadev disappears. So very beautiful instructions from Bhishmadev like that. Okay. Then after that, chapter 10, 11, 12, like the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, disappearance of Dhritarashtra, like that, and something else. Oh, yeah, no, Krishna leaves for Dwarka. Krishna arrives in Dwarka. And then he goes back to what he was going to talk about, Maharaj Parikshit. So it's a return like that. It's a sequence there, but he's kind of going back like that. Birth of Maharaj Parikshit, disappearance of Dhritarashtra, events more later now, maybe 20, 30 years later. And finally, disappearance of Krishna, disappearance of the Pandavas, like that. You know, so everybody's gone. All these great persons are gone. So next section is, 7 through 15, disappearance of Krishna, appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can also be, I added the slide then. Yeah, okay. Events right after the battle. You know, the birth of Maharaj Parikshit and travel to Dwarka, and many years later. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 16 to 19 are the meeting of Maharaj Parikshit, the personality of Kali, and Sukadeva Goswami. Right? How Maharaj Parikshit received the age of Kali. He's like 35 years old now or something. The Pandavas have been gone for a long time, like that. And everything is okay, but now Kali Yuga has to come. Right? Why does Krishna want Kali Yuga? Take our course and you'll find out. Yeah, because some people just will not learn by listening. The mother tries to take care of the kids, keep them from fighting, share your toys. But after some point she says, okay, I'm going to go inside now and make some cookies or samosas. Anybody wants to join me, you can come inside. But the rest of you can stay out here and play. And you can do whatever you want to do. So after about 15 minutes, people come in with their hair pulled and bite marks. And yeah, did you learn something? Yeah. Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, you can eat people. Yeah, I can eat you. Yeah, cannibalism, everything else. It's let everybody go to their limit. But it's limited. It keeps a kind of box around us, you know. In other ages, your thoughts become reality. In Kali Yuga, your thoughts don't become reality. How many people here would be happy if everybody could read your mind? No hands coming up. Yeah. Yeah. Lusty, angry, you know, stupid thoughts. Yeah. In other ages, these all became reality just by thinking about them. Thank God for Kali Yuga. Yeah. Yeah. Kali Yuga is very short. Yeah, in Dwarpa, in the Satya Yuga, everything is wonderful. You don't have to plant anything. Yeah? Then after that, it becomes a little shorter. Okay, you got a plant, but it comes back at abundance. Dwapara Yuga, you get what you plant. Kali Yuga, you get a fraction of what you plant like that. But it's only 10% of the whole cycle like that. So Krishna is so kind, his education, everything else like that. And also, Kalodo Sainire Rajan, Yastihieko Mahangunad, Kirtanadeva Krishna Siyam. One really good thing, just by chanting the name of Krishna, you can get out of this entire mess. It doesn't matter what kind of mess you've got yourself into. Stop and chant Hare Krishna. Anybody experienced this? I have. I got myself. It's a really big mess sometimes. I just say, I remember one time I was about to cry. It takes a lot to make a grown man cry. It was so miserable, the condition. So I did a Draupadi. I just said, Hare Bol, and just started chanting. And Krishna picked me up, took me out of the room on the street. I was sat down. And after about 15 minutes, everything was clear. And I could deal with a very difficult situation like that, so on. So yeah, you can always just chant Hare Krishna. Of course, sometimes it may take a while, a couple days or some time like that, so on. But this is Kali Yuga, really good thing. Just chant, no gyan necessary. You haven't got to become a big scholar. You don't have to learn how to meditate. You don't have to do pious activities. Just chant like that. And when you're tired, take prasad. It's ready. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. That's education. And with that, books will help you. Books will accelerate it. Yeah. Okay, Canto 1. Preface, Introduction, Sutta to the Sages, Narada to Vyas, Disappearance of Sri Krishna and His Associates, Appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? Canto 2, The Cosmos. We divide the second canto in three parts. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, like that. Then after that, Brahma to Narada, and Vishnu to Brahma. Okay. In the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami starts his instructions to Maharaj Parikshit. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you just stop eating and chant this mantra for 3 weeks and you'll see Krishna. Is that fast enough for you? No, I want to go faster. Okay, stop drinking water. Chant this mantra and in 3 days you'll see Krishna. I want to go faster. Okay, stop breathing. And chant this mantra, and in 3 minutes, you'll see Krishna. No takers. Yeah. So for us, maybe it'll take 33 years. Yeah. Yeah. But this is it. It depends upon our dedication, our determination. Dhruva means determined, like that. Little boy, she complete success, like that, and so on. But this is the beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so the first three chapters, he discusses pantheism, mysticism, and monotheism. Hay unas personas aquí que hablan español. ¿Cuál es el más gran monoteísta? Sí, ¿quién es el más gran monoteísta? Hanuman. ¿Sí? Monoteísmo. Yeah. Mono. One. Monkey.
No, mono.
Yeah. Yeah, so Hanuman's the greatest monoteista. In Spanish, it's a funny joke. In English, it's not. Okay. Monoteismo. So pantheism means seeing God in nature everywhere. You know, this is the Virat Roop, universal form. Brahman, Sat. That's the first level. Yes, there is a spirit. There is a reality. There's, you know, these kind of things. Buddha said, there is no reality. Okay, Shankaracharya came along and said, calm down, there is a reality. What is it? I'm not going to talk about that, but there is a reality. That's Brahman. You know, we don't die. There's, you know, you can always contemplate the present. Then you get a little more intense, you begin to realize that reality has variety. You know, there's a duality between me and God and nature. And that's Paramatma, meditation, introspection. You know, in pantheism, Brahman, we're engaged in philosophical speculation like that. In mysticism, we start to learn some technique of introspection, prayers, you know, tea ceremonies, meditation, japa. Then finally, the conclusion is we begin to realize that Paramatma is a person with all personal qualities like that. In mysticism, we see the hand of God in things. We see this happen, that happen, and we see that's honest person. You know, God's hand was there in that moment. But what's connected to the hand? Is God a giant red pig with a stick? Is God a big crocodile? Is God a four-armed Vishnu? So, 5,000 years ago, he showed who he was. What was he? Yeah, a little cowherd boy with no pants on playing with his friends in the forest. And Brahma couldn't believe this. He said, no, come on. He hasn't got his pants on. So, playing with his friends and minerals on his face. So he tried to take all the friends away. Took them all away, looked back, and they were all there. Today you eat the Sunday feast, you have your Sunday feast, you talk to the person for a second, look back, and everything's on your plate. Yeah, so Brahma was really, I took them all away. Yeah, so that was Brahma's progress to Swayam Bhagavan. So in three chapters, Sukadeva Goswami covers everything. Sat, Chit, Ananda, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. It's all complete. Sutta to the sages, complete. Narada to Vyas, complete. You know, Sutta Maharaj Pariksit to Sukadeva Goswami, complete. Other way around, actually. After hearing the complete science of God, Maharaj Pariksit was very satisfied. But he wanted to hear more, especially how God creates, maintains, and annihilates this material world. Because that's where we are. If we can get a hold of God here, that's really the place to do it. You know, God's in heaven, okay, but I'm here. I got to change my tires. I got to deal with these problems. I'm going to die. I'm getting old. Yeah. So very practical person, Maharaj Pariksit. Sukadeva Goswami agrees. And after offering preliminary prayers in chapter 4, beautiful prayers, in chapters 5 through 7, he explains how Brahma first spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni looks at his father, Brahma, and he says, Pitaji, you know, Pita Shri, you hold the whole universe in your hand like a walnut. Nobody knows how powerful you are, how intelligent you are. But I see that you're worshiping somebody else, it appears. You're doing austerities to satisfy somebody else. Is that a fact? And Brahma says, thank you very much. Yes. Above you, above me, above the Prajapatis, above everybody else is the Supreme Lord. He's the cause of all causes. He's the creator. So he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam to Narada Muni like that. Okay. After hearing the Bhagavatam, Brahma spoke to Narada. Maharaj Pariksit is even more enlivened, so he asks to hear even more. Sukadeva Goswami then explains the original Srimad Bhagavatam as Vishnu spoke it to Lord Brahma. And how long was that class? Yeah? Yeah. How's it go? Aham evasam evagre nanyadyat sarasat param. I can't remember it. I should remember like that. Yeah. Oh, Brahma, it is I who existed before the creation. Everything you see now is me. And when it's all finished off, nothing will exist but me. Whatever seems to have any connection to me, whatever seems to be real but has no connection to me, is like light seen in shadows. Yeah. Just as a thread, like make a sweater, right? And then when you pull the thread out, the sweater goes away. The same way I enter into this cosmos and I disappear. What is this table? It's Krishna. Yeah, just like you have all your yarn, you make a sweater. Someone comes by and says, I had a ball of yarn here. Did you see it? He says, I didn't see it. Yeah. Where is it? It's a sweater. Is it yarn? That's the mystery. Achinta bheda bheda tattva. Yeah, this is all Krishna's energy, right? Okay, my danda here. Take it here. Okay. So he's going to ask me, why are you beating me? And I will say, I am not beating you. The book is beating you. Yeah. Somebody asked Prabhupada, show me God. And Prabhupada laughed and said, show me something that isn't God. Yeah. Bhumirapo nalovayu kamana buddhevacha. We're breathing Krishna. We're tasting Krishna. We're seeing Krishna's energies. He separates them because we don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to mommy and daddy. I can do it myself. Okay. You know? And in case you're hungry, there's some cookies on the table there. No, Krishna doesn't interfere with our game, our play, you know, like that. You know, so he, being a Prakriti, separated energies like that, so on. Okay. So after hearing Bhagavatam, he heard the Bhagavatam that Brahma spoke, and the canto ends with the sages asking about the meeting between Vidura and Maitreya, because they also discussed this, and they must have discussed it at a higher level. So third canto goes into the pastimes in Dwarka, like that, so on. So that's the first two cantos. In summary, Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, Brahma to Narada, Vishnu to Brahma. Did you notice that Srimad Bhagavatam is presented 5 times in the first two cantos? Vishnu to Brahma, 2:8-10. Brahma to Narada, 2:5-7. Narada to Vyas, 4-6. Vyasadeva to Sukadeva Goswami. Yeah. It skipped over that one. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit and Suta Goswami. That's 1-3. Okay. Suta to the sages of Naimisharanya. There. So the whole parampara is there, how it came down like that. Okay. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. So we finished off 30 chapters in 20 minutes. Okay. Any questions? Everybody's willing to hold their breath now. If you got no questions, you got to hold your breath for 3 minutes. Yes, sir. Yes.
So, Maharaj, I will thank
you again. What is your good name?
Recording. My name is Hari Kirtan Das.
Well, that's a nice name.
Thank you.
Wow.
I feel very lucky to have it.
Yeah.
So, thank you again. Just so everyone who's listening on the recording knows that I was appreciative. Understanding. It's so much easier to follow and understand a text when you see how the text is structured. Yeah. And therefore you can understand when does the conversation subject matter change and such like that. So you don't get lost in the text. So I'm very happy to have seen your presentation about how the structure is laid out. And I'm wondering, for the sake of our own comprehension, and for the sake of helping others, if the structure that you just showed us is available online or elsewhere so that we can also have that for our reference and to help others.
Well, it so happens that we're starting a Bhakti Bhai Baba program right here in the temple and for only $20 a canto. No, Braj Bihari, they're organizing the whole study like that. And they'll be, you know, teaching it and so forth, so on. They have our study materials. But beyond that, if you go to our webpage, jayaram.us, what did Hanuman say? Jayarama.us, and it says, Hello, News, Archives, Peru. Okay, so if you speak Spanish, you go to Peru. And in the archives, it's a big jumble of stuff like that. There's all kinds of things in there, and you know, it's like things I forgot. I go through to myself every now and again. I find things I forgot about. But there's also a little explanation about some of the stuff there. So there it's listed. You know, it's listed the because we also have a PowerPoint show, which we did before the class, which goes over all 12 cantos. Because all 12 cantos are just as organized. Most of the Puranas don't have commentaries. They start here, they go there. What are they talking about? Srimad Bhagavatam is in a class like itself. Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the full moon and the stars, you know, comparing the Srimad Bhagavatam to the other Puranas. It's just unbelievable. And it's so systematic, all 12 cantos, how he presents the subject. And by the end of the 12th canto, you can join the Ras Lila and dance with Krishna. Cha cha cha.
Thank you.
Okay. Another question.
Thank you, Prabhu.
What is your good name?
Raj.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Excellent speech.
Oh.
Today, for the first time, when you said that Krishna is everywhere.
Yeah.
Krishna is in that table, keyboard.
Microphone.
Anything, microphone. That was the first time I realized that somebody has answered my question.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, when I meditate and I look at the chair,
yeah.
I'm looking at Krishna, yeah. but I don't see the connection.
Yeah.
When I come to temple, I stand here,
yeah.
I see that warmth and connection.
Yeah.
So is that a mysterious way Krishna behaves, or is it me?
It's okay. For example, Krishna has many energies. Krishna has many different expansions, prakash, like that, vibhava, so many things like that. So he's very big personality. For example, Krishna was associating with the Brijbasis, such an intimate realization. They would see his footprints, they would fall into ecstasy, they would see a tamal tree, the color of Krishna, and they would, so they would see Krishna, be reminded of Krishna. One time, one girl came to the temple in San Francisco, and she said, she'd been there, we're taking prasadam. She said one time she was with Prabhupada in his garden, and she asked Prabhupada, what does it mean that a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere? And Prabhupada said, whose glasses are these? He said, oh, they're your glasses, Prabhupada. He said, at least that. We see everything belongs to Krishna, and we don't want to exploit anything. And then as we become more mature, we see how it can be used for Krishna. Yeah. So in the beginning, it becomes continuous. Everything is related to Krishna. Then it becomes intense. Then it becomes deep, deep. And at that point, we remember. Three people are doing the same thing. First guy, Englishman asks him, the British guy says, what are you doing? He said, can't you see, you damn fool? I'm laying bricks. Leave me alone. It's okay. It's all right. You know. Second guy doing the same thing. He says, what are you doing? What? Making money. Take care of my family. Okay, thank you. Goes to the third guy and says, what are you doing? And he says, actually, it's very interesting. We're building a church, and today we're putting up the bricks that go behind the altar. Then when they're dry in a couple days, the masons will come and hang the marble. And my children are very small right now. My children are very small. But when they're a little bit bigger, I'm going to bring them here and help and show them how I'll help to build this great cathedral. They're all doing the same thing. But that's what the bhava means. It means Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya Shravanadi Shude Chitte Kadaja Yuraya. Wake up. We're all watching this stupid movie right now. We're with Krishna. Wake up. Somebody sat down next to you in the theater. You know, you don't know that it's actually, what's his name? Bill Gates. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Bill. Like some of my popcorn? Yeah, we're still absorbed. So Krishna consciousness means to wake up and see the perspective. And then we see how everything is being arranged. That chair is there for a certain reason. Yeah, so on. Yeah. So when Krishna left Vrindavan, he did that because he wanted to give the gopis a higher, more intimate, all the Brijbasis, intimate form to associate with. He made his manifest form invisible, but he gave them lila, Shmarana Swarup. Yeah? He allowed them to associate with his form and his eternal pastimes. That's not dead. That was a more intimate form. Yeah? So like that, it goes to different levels. We can see the deity. Then later on, we begin to see the deity in people's hearts. Yeah? Yeah? Then we see that the heart is actually, Gopal. Yeah? These are all cows. I've got to take care of them. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. See?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
First of all, I would like to say that I'm very happy to stay here. I've been not as a devotee, but I've been going to Krishna's temple in Ecuador, South America.
Oh, where? Guayaquil?
For about 20 years ago.
Guayaquil? I mean, Quito?
Quito, yes.
Quito, okay.
Yes, for 20 years.
Ah,
so wow. Since 20 years, I love Krishna.
Yay.
And I'm here since I came to this country like two years ago. And I'm coming here like about 4 months ago.
Ah.
So it was so very nice for me to come here. But what I could say is that the way you showed the structure of the counters and things like that, I've never heard. But I had my Bhagavad Gita at home. Mm-hmm. I open barely, but when I open, it tells me something.
Yeah.
But what I could say is that I've seen the devotees in Ecuador and Peru and Bolivia, and I know most of them, normally they don't understand the structures, but they are guided by love.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what happens to me. I only get myself in love of Krishna, and that's it.
Prabhupada said that Nanda Maharaj, right, Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, he was a Vaishya taking care of the cows. He said he couldn't read or write. He hired some intelligent fool to do it for him. He said, what to speak of the girls? You know, they didn't read and write, but they would go to lectures, they would go to puppet shows, and they understood what's needed. Yeah, thing is to love Krishna, like you say. We should have a little basic idea, some simple philosophy, and then whatever our job is, we do that for Krishna. But then some people, especially here in North America, los norteamericanos son muy cuadráticos. See? We won't translate that, okay? Basically what it means is that North Americans are blockheads. Very like this, you've got to have your structure. Prabhupada doesn't emphasize this like that. But for especially, how many people here are in the software industry, computer programmers? Okay, yeah. So, Prabhupada ki jai. So, if anybody wants to talk about the education, you want to talk more about ISKCON education like that and starting your own primary school, then we'll be outside afterwards like that. We can talk, you know. Thank you very much.
This lecture was brought to you by the Hare Krishna community near Washington, D.C. For more information, please visit iskonofdc.org. That's iskcon of dc.org.